Hi, all. Welcome back to another episode of The Bort Report. I'm Erin, here again with my co-host, Jake. Today,
Hello.
We're also introducing a new co-host. Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, guys. My name's Chris. I'm a fellow anime fan. I have been on the Naruto hype ever since it very first aired on TV from episode 1. Now that Naruto's chapter in time is finished, I am now in the Boruto hype with the rest. My main passions are music, writing songs, and singing. I am also known as Spiring Spear by many people on Twitter and Facebook, so that is me.
All right. With that, I want to get to a few initial notes before we dive into this episode, just about the way this arc is proceeding. Naruto's acting a little out of character. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like he's weirdly timid in ways that just don't seem befitting the character. Like, he was still a pretty surly kid at this time, and while yes, he was always friendly, he just kind of seems like he's been wussed out a little bit.
He's been very skittish.
Yeah, he's been kind of skittish. I feel like this isn't really Naruto. Like, as much as this is a character that I like, it doesn't seem like authentic Naruto to me.
Seems like he's down the dumps, to be honest.
That's fair. I also think this arc is just too short. I mean, we're getting about 9 episodes, which means they're pretty much more than halfway done. I think by like mid-December, we're going to be getting the final episode of this arc based on the summaries that came out recently from Organic Dinosaur. I'm surprised that they didn't draw this out a little longer. We really haven't had that many long arcs in this show. I mean, the Chunin Exam arc was pretty short compared to what they could have done with it. Really, the longest arc we've had in this entire anime has been the Mitsuki arc, and it was terrible. Considering that the anime is basically just stalling for time, I don't understand why they aren't putting more content into these arcs that they could get some actual good story out of. Like, they could make this as long as they want, but for some reason they decided, 9 episodes, that's fine. I don't know, what do you guys think?
They could get a higher audience reach, too. Honestly, with this arc and seeing old Jen, it hooks people, it gains their interests, you know? Like, it should be longer, but...
Yeah, we had, like, a brief cameo of most of the Konoha 12, but then after that, it's been all Naruto and Boruto, and then, like, one or two glimpses of Sakura, but it's mostly, like I said, been Naruto, Boruto, Sasuke, and Jiraiya, which I think is kind of a waste of. The whole point of this arc was to be the 20th anniversary celebration. It just feels like they're screwing the pooch a little bit.
Yeah, agreed.
If you're gonna have a fan servicey crazy ass time travel arc, like, go for it. Like, go hard or go home. Either be crazy or don't do it at all.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of are playing it way too safe, where it's like, oh, you know, there's certain things we can't do or can't say, but...
Well, they're basically undoing all of that, which we'll see what happens after these next two episodes, because the plot is unfurling, as it were.
Yeah.
We can talk about that more when we get into this episode. So, this is Boruto episode 123, and I'm gonna start things off here. So,
132.
Thank you. This is episode 132. So we start off with Naruto and Boruto arriving early for training. They bicker a little, then Jiraiya shows up and he announces that he wants to teach them to synchronize their chakras, which it's a pretext for Naruto and Boruto to have a special connection without him announcing who he is, so whatever, I'll take it. It's a good enough idea, and maybe we'll see this concept crop up a bit more in the anime. So they train for a while, trying to create a Rasengan together. Jiraiya takes a nap because he's apparently so bored with this. Then when he wakes up, he just kind of fucks off.
I mean, that's Jiraiya thing. Like, he even did it in Naruto when Naruto was first learning the Rasengan.
Yeah.
Took a nap and just took a hike.
Yeah, you kids figure it out. I'm gonna go probably watch some porn.
Pretty much. Or, you know, meet some lovely ladies and have a few drinks.
So Naruto and Boruto train all day. Sasuke watches them. Then Boruto has a flashback of Kyuubi Naruto and he freaks out a little and Naruto makes a sad face.
That actually upset me to see, because, like, you know, out of everyone Boruto could have been afraid of, it was his own father, and it just tugged at the heartstrings, you know?
Yeah, it
was hard to watch.
I mean, I feel like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too with this, because when he initially sees Naruto in his Kyuubi form, he tries to, like, reach out to him, be all nice to him, and now all of a sudden he's afraid of it, so...
Yeah, true.
I'm seeing they're being a little bit sneaky with this. Like, they couldn't decide which way they wanted him to feel about it. But, yeah, he's basically got little miniature PTSD from that time Naruto scratched him once.
Yeah. I don't know. Even Boruto seemed confused on what he just did. like,
yeah, he's at least like, he feels shitty about it. He's like, oh man, that was a dick move on my part.
Yeah.
And they go their separate ways temporarily, and Jake, you want to take the next few sections?
I gotcha. So Boruto goes just thinking about everything after that little incursion that he was dealing with, and he runs into the Hyuga compound where Hinata and Neji are training, and Boruto kind of observes from afar watching the two of them train. Then Boruto tries to sneak off, but Neji, of course, catches him, and Boruto and Neji kind of have a heart-to-heart conversation about Naruto, and I think this conversation...
I would like to just note that the Hyuga compound apparently has no security whatsoever.
Somehow. Yeah, there's like nobody there.
He literally just wanders, two kids. Like, wanders around, and then is just there, like, oh, what's this?
I don't know. Whatever. Rolls be...
He could have found them in the woods, but no, he...
Oh my god. Neji just gives Boruto a grandiose speech and tells Boruto, don't feel sympathy or pity for Naruto. Just be there to help him and help him rise up. And I guess that just kind of, that clicked with Boruto for some reason, and Boruto's like, okay, yeah. As Boruto's walking away, Neji basically says, you kind of remind me of Naruto. He also says, I never got your name, but it was kind of already after Boruto had left.
Well, it was more him talking to himself like, wow, what a great kid. I wonder what his name was, because I
should have asked his name.
It's like, yeah. He's, for some reason, he's, of course, he's drawn to this kid for some reason, and then is just like, huh, who was that?
I gotta say, I'm kind of in Aaron's mindset with this, where it's like, it's kind of frustrating, because you know the answer, you know it's there, but they have to, like, tiptoe around it.
And it's cheating, like, is what it is. It's like they're trying to force these characters to have a kind of, I don't know, maybe it's chakra BS magic, because that's a theme in the manga, is the way chakra,
like, they can't know.
Yeah, so it's like they just have to, for some reason, have some intuition that, oh, I like this kid for no reason whatsoever, other than you kind of look like Naruto. I wonder why that is.
Then we have Jiraiya, who ends up asking Sasuke to bring dinner to both Boruto and Naruto as they train. Sasuke finds Naruto sitting by himself in a tree.
He finds him sitting alone in the rain.
That is pretty dramatic.
Like, he's like a little kid, like a sad kid, and Sasuke just goes over and just comforts him, tells him a story about, without trying to say any names, basically tells him a story about, you know, Naruto, about how Naruto was persistent, and about how Sasuke was, you know, Sasuke.
My quote friend.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my god.
Yeah, which that was kind of sweet. I mean, I guess he probably feels bad. It's like, oh man, I have to face the consequences of my consequences. I have to face the consequences of my actions. Man, I was such a dick. Like, so at least he's trying to be nice and make up for it. Which this scene I didn't mind. This one felt organic, unlike some of the other magic Boruto moments.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's... Oh, go ahead, Chris, sorry.
Oh, well, I mean, even Sasuke, he makes a face, you know, whilst Naruto is explaining, you know, his feelings and how his friend left. And it's like a face we've never seen before, where Sasuke's kind of like, oh, you know, he feels horrible.
Like when you remember that shitty thing you did 10 years ago that you still are really embarrassed about, like, ooh.
Yeah, that face.
That was me.
Yep.
Yeah, that was me. Sam's gonna declare war on the world and become the next, you know, Ninja Hitler.
Oh, I get to genocide people. Well, you know, who hasn't? Who hasn't had an angsty face and decided they were gonna kill Foul Strange?
You know, teenage angst. You know, that works. Oh my god.
It was just the time, you know? That was just the spirit of the time.
Okay, now we should go into these next two points. This is where it gets really interesting. Or Sasuke bumps...
This scene was very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, Sasuke bumps into Sakura, grabs her by the hand, holds her hand.
He's holding her wrist in a death grip.
Oh, I thought he was holding her hand.
Had her wrist because, like, she bumped into him, and
his ninja reflex.
He's got her wrist in like a vice.
When she
and
bumped,
then he's
yeah.
like, oh shit, whoops.
Whoops, yeah, he's like, whoops, my bad, and he runs away, you know, and drops a note, and Sakura picks it up and reads it, and it happens to be the note that Sarada had written to Sasuke, and we kind of not sure about how Sakura's reaction is going to be, you know, we don't really know, but we have a feeling that something's going to happen.
Because you said that Kakashi is mentioned in the note. which probably means that she'll be curious, like, oh, is this maybe somebody Kakashi knows? So she'll probably, that's the direction I see it going, because it's not like she's going to do some, she's not going to have some crazy ass syllogism like, oh, that's Sasuke from the future based on this note. Like, what?
Yeah, which leads us into this next and final point for the episode. Jiraiya figures it out.
Which I want to know what mental gymnastics he had to do to Pete. Like, his, that's his, like, first theory. He's like, he goes straight from, this guy's kind of weird, to, he's from the future.
Yeah, oh my god. I'm sorry. When that part of the episode happened, I was like, my mouth just dropped. I'm like, oh,
I was like, fucking really? I mean, I'm not surprised that they would do this. I kind of figured that we were going to go in this direction, but it was just like, really?
This is like, that had to be the worst way to know. It was just Jiraiya. I mean, I think Jiraiya knew. I think he knew that it was Sasuke, but he probably didn't want to jump to any conclusions.
Just can't buy that. Like, I can understand him thinking, well, maybe he's got some weird connection to all this, but like him just like going 0 to 60, like, who is this mysterious stranger with an eye patch? It's Sasuke!
I mean, I kind of have somewhat of a theory on how we found out.
Yes.
I think when, okay, I think he was spying on Sasuke, right? When he sent Sasuke to go give Naruto his food. So I'm thinking he's spying. And he must have overheard the conversation. And due to what, you know, Sasuke was saying, kind of hint, oh, yeah, I had a friend, hint. Mimo is talking about himself and Naruto. Jiraiya being, you know, Jiraiya, he's smart, he's a sannin, figures it out, you know, he had the information there, boom, oh, well, it's Sasuke.
Well, he knows because the writers want him to know, basically. They're like, well, we need some kind of other conflict from this other than Urashiki showing up, being threatening for 5 seconds, and then pissing out like a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been his entire character up to this point, is he shows up, he's really threatening for like 5 minutes, and then gets the shit kicked out of him by a 12-year-old, and then he runs away. I guess he used up all his chakra.
Yeah, he's been like that for a couple of episodes now. It's kind of frustrating.
I hope that we get something satisfying out of him, because, I mean, we don't really know, like, they can't kill him off at the end of this arc. He can't die because no one else can get karma. Spoiler, one of the upcoming synopses for episode, I think, like 135 or 136, is quote-unquote the decisive battle with Urashiki, which we all knew was coming. I'm curious, how are they going to wrap this up? And I really hope that he is in more of the anime after this, because he's just been so unestablished as a character. And I think they could do more interesting things with him. And if they just kind of like gloss over him after this arc, I'd be pretty mad.
I mean, when you also think about it, you know, he may not have much chakra, but when he does, you got to think, well, he kind of has to hide some of his jutsus. For example, if he does Chidori, it's not going to take a genius to figure out, oh,
you mean Sasuke.
It's Sasuke, yeah. Exactly. So
yeah, that's something I was actually going to bring up, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got other jutsus, though.
Both sides. Yeah, I know, but most jutsus he's well known for, you know, like,
his, Fireball at him. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, true.
You don't have the patent on fireballs. Other people can do it.
That is true. Fireball would be an alright one to use.
Yeah, I don't see him. I don't know if he would want to use, like, Susanoo or whatever, because that wasn't really known in the OG Narutoverse until, like, later on in Shippuden, when they started to really push the whole Avatar State stuff, you know, where they had, characters.
Like, he could do that and no one would be able to put it together, but like, he probably doesn't have enough chakra conveniently to do something like that.
Yeah, it's just, I admit it really is frustrating, because it's like, you know, Sasuke can do so much more. And what's also irritated me, and I've been noticing too, they've made Sasuke really, really stupid. Like, they've made him dumb, and I'm like, this is like, I understand that, you know, Sasuke's older, he's not, like, the same person he was, but, you know, he's just so, like, I can't put my words in.
Sasuke is only as smart as the writers are, and the writers are only as smart as the amount of effort they're willing to put into these scripts. And it just seems like I thought maybe they'd put more effort into, like, the 20th anniversary special, whatever this is, but, and it, there's been parts of it that I've enjoyed, but for the most part, it's just like, oh, God, you're all so stupid. How are you all so stupid? Oh, right, because the writers don't care. All right, let's move on to this next episode. Chris, you want to take it?
Yeah, sure. So, Boruto.
He's taking an interest in Sasuke's past, which is quite obvious. He's trying to pry some information, asking Naruto about Sasuke.
I'm certain Orochimaru will never be mentioned.
Oh, gosh.
Frustrating. Like, that frustrates me so much. It's like, I hate that he just gets off with... He basically was the catalyst for so much of the bullshit drama from part one. And then it's just never talked about again.
You know what kind of frustrates me? The fact that, you know, what about the old gen, you know, finding out about their parents, for example, Sarada, you know, what about her finding out about Sasuke's past? Could you imagine her finding out?
Like, I've seen so many hot takes on, like, Tumblr about, like, this is bullshit. Yeah. Like, how, why does, like, Boruto get to find out first? Like, oh my God. Yeah. Which I understand. That's pretty shitty, but at the end of the day, he's the attractive male protagonist, so.
Yeah, it still would be nice to see, you know, her finding out, though, I reckon.
Well, that remains to be seen. But, as you were saying...
Yes, so, more of Sakura. We believe that there will be a follow-up from the letter that Sasuke dropped, and we see Sakura read the letter. So, in previous episodes, we see Sasuke read this letter. I don't know if anyone remembers what it said, so I will remind you all. It basically read, "Welcome home, Dad. Thank you for all the hard work. I know you are busy, but are you eating properly? It is so rare that you're home. Mum said she wanted us to eat together once in a while." So I'm thinking, well, how much of this did Sakura see? Because it was dropped in a puddle of water. How many words were murked out? You know, we didn't get to see this, so it is yet to be seen just how much Sakura knows. And that is quite intriguing. What do you, Aaron? What do you, Jake? Both think about this.
Well, was Kakashi mentioned in the letter? Because that's the only thing that would really matter.
I think he was, actually.
Because if the letter doesn't mention anyone that Sakura knows about, then it's just inconsequential and just like, oh, hey, dude, you dropped this. Oh, you should probably go see your family. I totally snooped on your private letter. Ha ha.
It actually does, because it said, oh, you know, and Boruto wanted to ask if you could borrow Meikai tactics from Kakashi sensei. So could you love Sarada? So Kakashi was actually mentioned.
Yeah, so if Kakashi's mentioned, then that might pique Sakura's interest. Like, oh, hey, like.
Definitely.
Do you know my sensei? Like, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah,
it's intriguing to see.
I feel like they're gonna try to contrive something more dramatic than really would come out of this.
What do you think, Jake?
I honestly think it's gonna be interesting how this whole thing happens. I mean, part of me feels like they could just unravel the hell out of this and be like, you know what, screw it. They get, you know, the jig is up. You know, yeah, we came from the future because we needed to protect Naruto of the past. And I mean, at this point, I don't know how long they can keep this guise up of, well, you know, we're just traveling performers, you know?
I think at this point, they're like, well, that was our cover story. We're ninja, and we're after that alien guy. Oh, whoops, he's not an alien. What alien? I think maybe Jiraiya would stay on the know, but I don't see any other characters getting the full story, because that would fuck up so much of this timeline.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh god. Oh yeah. No, there would be no way. I don't think there would be any way for the timeline to recover. I think there'd be
the universe would implode.
Yeah, it really would. I mean, that was just one of my theories. The other thing is basically what Aaron said is that they probably don't want to make anything too inconsequential. So it's probably just gonna be Jiraiya knowing this and just keeping it between them, you know, Boruto and Sasuke. And
takes to his grave.
That, I mean, imagine that being a thing throughout Shippuden. And oh god, that actually made me think about something. Really, like, actually made me think. What if, like, this whole thing existed the entire time? Jiraiya knew, and that's why Jiraiya was so confident in Naruto's abilities, because he knew exactly what was going to happen in the future, so
that could do. He's like, well, I know this kid lives at least long enough to bang and make another version of himself. He's going to at least make it to 30, so.
True.
Yeah, and what if, like, Jiraiya has known this, and that's why he's so, like, he takes so much pride in training Naruto, you know, throughout
Right.
whatever, and I that would make sense. I honestly wouldn't mind if Jiraiya had that knowledge for the rest of time, you know, until he, until his inevitable death, but, like,
Yeah, I think
I...
like that I'd be okay with. Like that's fine, but like nobody else can know 'cause that would
Yeah,
be
nobody else can
awesome.
know. No one else finds out. I mean, not even Tsunade. If Tsunade finds out, oh man, that'd be bad.
I mean, when I think about it, isn't it kind of bad that Jiraiya does know? Like, how is this going to affect the timeline? Like, would it be any consequences, you know?
Well,
Well, that's
it's not like he's gonna go around telling everybody, like, hey guys, did you know that that dude was Sasuke from the future and that other kid was like Naruto's baby boy and like he's gonna live and be 30 and fuck eventually.
I mean,
Yeah, he's
like,
gonna.
just the fact alone that Jiraiya knows himself.
Honestly, I don't really see anything consequential. As long as Jiraiya keeps it to himself, I really don't see what it
Yeah.
could do. But I think it would open up his mind to the idea that, okay, well, you know, other things, concepts of time and whatever exists, and that would just create, like, interesting stuff. But I don't really think that. As long as he keeps it to himself, I really there's really no consequence to time. I just it's his knowledge that could be problematic if he'd ever want to talk about it. But like Aaron said, they're not gonna.
Yeah, he's
I
just
mean,
gonna keep this to
Dry's not
himself.
gonna. Yeah,
Yeah, definitely.
but who knows? I mean, this could be another Road to Ninja situation. You know, where basically they could forget it or they. Well, actually, the funny thing is, in Road to Ninja, they never really forgot about the events that happened. They never lost their memories. Sakura and Naruto never lost their memories of that event, so
Well, it
it
just
just
kind of
never.
it faded into the memories of wherever the other fillers go.
Yeah,
They
it
just
just kind of.
blocked it out.
You know, what's funny it was is that they were really banking on Road to Ninja. They were, you know, granted it was a successful film and it did significant numbers. But I kind of just wish they had maybe had kept that in like. The story of the Naruto lore that, okay, well, this other universe does exist within the Infinite Tsukuyomi or something, you know,
Yeah.
but
Like,
that's off
hey,
to that's
yeah.
on.
Like, hey, Hinata, I met another version of you. And she was a huge bitch! Isn't that cool? Isn't that funny?
Loved that. I loved that Hinata so much.
Oh my
Oh.
God.
Yeah, I thought she
I
was
cannot
more entertaining
even
than the Hinata
Naruto.
we got. Don't at me.
Oh my God.
All right, we just.
Sasuke though was so cringe though in
Like,
that personally.
he was my favorite Sasuke.
Oh, Playboy Sasuke. Oh,
I
yeah.
like Playboy Sasuke a lot more than mopey, I want to kill everybody Sasuke.
Oh my
Fair
God.
enough.
Oh, I remember all the girls loving the Road to Ninja Sasuke because he was like
Yeah.
every cliche pretty boy from like every anime.
Yeah, he was a fuckboy, and you know, sometimes there's a place for those.
Fair enough.
All right, we should probably get back to this episode preview.
Yes, so we also saw Urashiki, and he comes back with his blue Rinnegan. Honestly, his blue Rinnegan, it's still a mystery to what, you know, the different colors mean and the capabilities and what their limits are. Do you have any thoughts on what they might be?
I'm sure there is some kind of significance to the colors that we just don't know about yet.
Yeah, the meanings, yeah.
I mean, I figure that yellow is probably the most powerful because that was Urashiki at the peak DBZ form. Urashiki, not Urashiki. What am I talking about? Momoshiki.
Momoshiki.
After he goes like God mode, he's got yellow or golden Byakugan and a golden Rinnegan, which that seems significant to me. Also looked pretty badass, but who knows? Maybe it was just like an aesthetic choice that Ikimoto made. Like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
I hope it's not down to that because it would be kind of interesting to know what these colors mean. Like, is it just down to whoever's using it? Because we know that a red Rinnegan, that's like a Rinnegan, or does it have to have the Tomoe to be Rinnegan? These names.
Yeah, I get what you mean, honestly. What do you reckon, Jake?
This is a theory that I had was I feel like the different colors of the Rinnegan within the Osuchi clan is maybe something that had to do with like the branches of the family or whatever. Like certain different color Rinnegans have different capabilities, and maybe they're parts of different branches of the families within the Otsutsuki.
Right.
So,
I
I
still
that.
don't fully get what the Rinnegan is.
Yeah, I don't really get it myself. It seems like it's like a bastard child of the Byakugan and the Sharingan. I can't really think of it, you know, think it out, because it's like it seems like it can you can use like Amaterasu and stuff like that with it and whatever. I really don't know what it is either. I mean, it's kind of something that hasn't really been fully explained about what it is. We just know that it's a really powerful dojutsu.
Yeah, like maybe it has some like reality bending powers. I don't know. At this point, it's basically just there to achieve ass pulls. Like, I need this character to be infinitely more powerful than they were 5 seconds ago. Rinnegan! There we go.
Yeah.
Rinnegan activate.
It has been put into a lot of episodes a lot.
It's just like, we need Urashiki to step his shit up. Let's have him pull out a Rinnegan.
Yeah, true.
And Sasuke never uses his Rinnegan.
Because no chakra.
Yeah, because he's never got chakra. Because get a 5-hour energy or something.
What if one of these Rinnegans, unbeknownst to us, could, I don't know, like maybe what if one color could take away someone's chakra or, you know, enough to the point where Sasuke is like,
I sort of had a theory about that, where like yellow has prescience and can see the future, because that's Momoshiki. He makes his prediction about Boruto while he's using the yellow Rinnegan and yellow Byakugan. And supposedly Urashiki can also see the future, but then that might just be a trick that he uses based on the upcoming synopses, because it describes him as using like some kind of technique to pretend that he can see the future, but we'll see. They gotta flesh out this clan more, because there's just a lot of amorphous information that's just kind of floating around. It doesn't really have any connective tissue to it.
Right, true.
Yeah, I agree. They've been talking about this branch and whatever, and this whole idea of issues with clans, and I agree with Aaron. There's no continuity in this whole thing, and it's like, where is this going? You know, where are they trying to... What I don't want them to do is run into the same, you know, story circles or walk on the same treads that they were before, you know? So,
yeah.
Just kind of going in circles over and over again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is basically what this whole anime has been, is just an exercise in futility. I mean, I hope that we get another Otsutsuki character soon. See, I pronounced it right that time. For some reason last time, I just could not say that word. I don't know what it was. But I hope that we get another one soon. Maybe someone more powerful than Urashiki, because they can't kill him. He can't die, so maybe he goes sniveling back to his clan and is like, hey, I need some backup, please. Because, I mean, he's been doing pretty good on his own.
Wait. Oh my god, you actually made me think of something right now.
Oh?
What if Otsutsuki goes back, asks for help, and a certain someone, we don't really see him on screen, but he's like, fine. He'll pull a Thanos and be like, fine.
Oh, you mean Ishiki. You're talking about Ishiki.
What if they try to introduce him by the end of this, or like off screen, but they try to introduce that whole thing?
I feel like the Ishiki stuff has been taking place. It started like way before the Boruto timeline. That's the impression I get, is that this shit's been going on for a while, but it's just now coming to a head. Because we know that Ishiki had already taken over Jigen when Kawaki was like a little boy, which means that it was before the start of the Boruto timeline. And I definitely know that they aren't going to leave Urashiki in the past, because then he could just keep fucking things up. So he's going to have to go back to the future with them, and then he'll probably escape, and he'll probably run off, and he'll go back to his family, and maybe we'll get a new character out of this. Maybe a lady, because we've had only Kaguya so far, and I'm like, well, where's the rest of your women?
Yeah, I was actually going to say, let me rephrase that. If not Ishiki, maybe an introduction to Kara or something, because I mean, I'm sure they have to notice that something awry is going on, and that would help the anime kind of introduce, well, okay, maybe we'll probably have like shaded figures, whatever. We'll probably just see them talking or something or whatever, and be like, oh, this is interesting, you know.
That Urashiki's working with Kara?
Well, no, like basically I'm guessing, and it's hard to specify this, basically Urashiki, they all return basically at the end of this arc. They all come back, and basically, I'm gonna guess you can like introduce like Kara in some way. Like they notice it. Like they notice like Boruto and Sasuke showing back up, like in the modern day time. And it's like, okay, that's really weird. And I guess they could just go off of that or something. I don't know. They'd throw some kind of
I don't know. I feel like this arc's going to have some kind of stinger at the end of it that foreshadows some kind of future threat. I don't think it's going to be Kara just yet. I could be wrong, but I don't think...
It has to be something.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, because it... I know that Jump Fest is also coming up too, and Boruto's part of that whole showcase, and they could easily announce something in regards to, I don't know, manga content or whatever for the anime, because they're getting up there in episodes, so I'm sure they probably want to do something, but I don't know. That is just my wild speculation thoughts. Don't take any of what I'm saying for concrete information, but
yeah. I know a lot of people are itching for them to get to the manga, but the manga's only like 40 chapters long, and the anime has already covered like 15 of them, so they don't have a lot of buffer content. They're gonna have to
put
this shit out for years.
Definitely.
So I wonder, like, well, okay, well, how are they going to stall for time next? At least can they make it entertaining? Because there's a lot that they could do in the meantime that could still be entertaining without having too much impact on what's going on in the manga. But we'll see. They pretty much have just made so many baffling decisions to me throughout this anime. Really, I think they just need to stick to the slice of life stuff, because that's most of the episodes that I've enjoyed the most and that have had the best fan reception have been the ones that just kind of focus on the domestic lives of the kids and the K-12 in the modern era, which there's plenty of untread ground there. We've only really seen Boruto and Sarada's family life, and then like a little bit of Chocho and like snippets of Shikadai or Inujin, but you know, there's other characters out there.
Yeah.
Like a certain green wearing character who never gets screen time that you could maybe do some stuff with. I don't know. Just saying.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I would like to see more of the new generation.
Yeah, because for the most part, they've just been cycling through the same four characters, and it's getting really tiring.
Yeah, for sure.
Even Inojin and Chocho barely get screen time compared to Shikadai, which is why he annoys me so much. OG Naruto, at least, there was a sense of balance between the characters that are getting focused. Like, everyone had their time, but now it's kind of... They've picked their favorites already. They're not giving other characters a chance. They just choke them out and like, oh, you all loved Shikamaru so much. Here's more of him, but tiny.
Yeah, that is pretty sad.
How many times have we retread the theme of, oh, what makes a human being? And Mitsuki needs to be sad about the fact that he's not human. I'm like, didn't we do this already? I feel like we spent 6 months figuring this shit out and now we need to do it again. So that's what frustrates me most about the anime, is that it keeps going over the same lessons over and over and over and over, and there's just no feeling of progress. But who knows, maybe they'll surprise us after this arc.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, like, everyone is pretty hyped about this arc and what's to come next.
I mean, that's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, it is sort of what keeps me watching the anime, because I'm like, well, maybe the next arc will be good. I don't know, it's called the sunk cost fallacy, where you've been invested in something so long that you're like, I can't stop now. I've already spent like 10 years of my life with this. I've got to know.
Yeah, definitely agreed on that one.
All right, guys, so was this an episode to watch or skip? I say it was a watch.
It was a watch. Yeah,
it was a watch. I'd say, yeah.
Definitely a watch. All right, so we don't have a listener theory today, so that's going to wrap it up for us, I think. If you have theories or questions, and you don't need to send in your own theories, if you come across something on Reddit or Tumblr and think that it's an interesting theory, you can send it our way. Send it to us at bortreportcast@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Tumblr, all under the Bort Report logo. This has been your weekly Bort Report. Thank you for tuning in.